Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna to our King tonight. The lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Just want to welcome everyone tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We greet each and every one of you, all the ministering servants in the house of the Lord, the believers from Guyana, Grenada, Tobago, the local believers. How we so welcoming this presence here tonight. Our time is so fast spent. We just want to turn quickly to the Word of God tonight. Pray, come with a pull of faith in your hearts, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ to supply all our need as he promised to do. Amen. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You believe that tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms 132, 1 Peter 2, and Revelation 21. We want to take a scripture reading from there tonight by God's grace. We thank God for that wonderful singing. Amen. All the praises, all the thanksgiving going on before his presence. Psalm 132, we want to read a whole chapter tonight. If a neighbor don't have a Bible, just share with them by God's grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids, till I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord had chosen Zion. He had desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe a priest with salvation, and a saint shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamb for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read from verse 3. To verse 8. If so, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? Watch that word here. To whom coming? As unto a living stone. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Hallelujah. That word disallowed is rejected of men. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Amen. We are not confounded tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Unto you therefore who believe, he is precious, but unto them who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word. How would they like the signs? How would they like God to bless them? And when it comes to the word, they stumble. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 9 to verse 11, you want to read? There came unto me one of the seven angels who had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. What a stone tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Hallelujah. Almighty God, author of eternal life, give up every good and perfect gift. How we give you thanks and praise tonight, oh God, for making these meetings possible, Father. Lord, how you have the young people at your heart and your mind, oh God. Lord, how you're concerned about them, how you want to bless them, Father. How you want to make them overcomers in this last evil age, oh God. Lord, you have set aside these meetings specially for them, Father. How we give you thanks and praise tonight, oh God. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit come down and move among us, Lord, in a mighty way, oh God. Lord, will you break yokes and set free tonight, Father. May the Holy Ghost flow from heart to heart, oh God. Will you bless your children, Lord. May the God fill tonight, Father. May the God sing, oh God. Didn't our hearts burn as you spoke us along the way. May the God of us say we are glad to be the house of the Lord. Oh, have your way tonight, Lord. Get glory to your great and mighty name, Father. Be given the whole service in your great hands, Lord. Have the preeminence and speak to your people. Thou knowest our needs tonight, Father. Lord, man can't supply our needs, Lord. But only Almighty God, you alone, Father, we come to, we look to tonight. Oh, you never disappoint us yet, Father. You still remain faithful tonight. Oh, we look to you, Lord, and thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you honor. We come at all service in your great and mighty hands, Lord. Have your way, oh God, Lord. Take me out of the way tonight, Father. I stand so insufficient, Lord. So helpless tonight, Father. Stand before this great people tonight. You redeem your purchase, Lord. But Lord, may the Holy Spirit come. The angel, oh God, come and speak to them, Lord. Words of eternal life, Lord. Words to build up their faith, Lord. Words, oh God, to break the chains of the enemy around their life. To fill up with your spirit, oh God. We have your way tonight, Lord. We come an entire service in your great hands. We thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise and thanks. Amen and amen. Let's say praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Have your seats. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Just want to get into the word right away. Amen. Just for a title tonight, eternal stones for the eternal city. And, you know, just reading David here in the book of Psalms 132. How just reading that scripture, it strike my heart. How David, he and the Lord having communion. Here we see David crying out unto the Lord. And how he swore unto God. What a man. He swore unto God. He made an oath unto God. He said, I will not go into my tent. Now I will come into the tabernacle of my house. I will not give sleep unto my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord. An habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. What a man, what a heart. What a love for God. Amen. Hallelujah. What a vow, what a oath he made to God. Brother, he was sincere, he was honest. And here we see he and God having communion. And here we see God answering David back. In verse 13, he said, David, the Lord had chosen Zion. David, the Lord had desired Zion for his habitation. Hallelujah. He said, this is my rest forever, and here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Amen. He said, the Lord had desired, had chosen Zion. He had desired for his habitation. Notice the word here. He had, past tense. He did not decide that when David was speaking unto him, no sir. But God had already decided to choose Zion long before he met David in the flesh. Because what David was receiving here was the word of God. But remember, the word is a thought expressed. See, before it was a word, it was a thought. It was a thought of God. And God thoughts are eternal. He always desired Zion. Before God was God. Because God is an object of worship. And before there was anything to worship him, he desired Zion for inhabitation. Sure. When he existed by himself, the great Elohim, the self-existent one, that fountain of spirit coming out of him was love, perfect love, pure, unadulterated love. And he wanted to express that love. He wanted to show it, to reveal it. And so in his mind, he desired to reveal that love. And the only way he can reveal that love in a perfect way is in a wife. Brother, husband and wife is the highest form of intimacy. And his mind desired his woman, his bride. Here he is, thinking about her. I want to have fellowship with her. I want to have such fellowship with her that once it starts, it can't stop. He desired that. He longed for that. He made it such a way that when he started to have this fellowship, nothing could stop it. So he put her name in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the Lamb section, sent before the foundation of the world. He didn't want the fellowship to break. See, and after a while, we see his thoughts begin to materialize. Made all things. Then he made Adam and put him in the garden. Here was a man in God's image and likeness. Here was a man God revealed himself unto. Here's a man that God had the preeminences in. Sure. But even though he had that, in him there were attributes that he wanted to express. And he could not express it in Eden. Because in him was a healer. In him was a deliverer. In him was a savior. And in Eden was nothing sick. In Eden was nothing lost. He was a deliverer. There was nothing bound that he could set free. But yet enemy had all his attributes. So he gave Adam a brand, knowing she would fall. She was not in the original creation. No, and she would fall and cause. And he knew that. God was surprised he knew that.
But it's all working in his great plan.
How he was longing for a woman that would not fall. What had he chosen? What had he elected? He said, David, I have chosen Zion. I have desired it. He is God. He desired Zion. That word desire, he longed for Zion. He waited longingly for Zion. Think about it. God was going through something for Zion. He set his love upon her. And here he was waiting longingly. When he told Adam, it's not good for man to be alone, he knew what he was talking about. He had it born, he had it longing for fellowship too. You think Abraham went long? Abraham just for 25 years. But send before the foundation of the world, Almighty God has been waiting for Zion. He longed for her. So he desired her for a habitation. Husband and wife is one flesh, the close. But let me tell you something. This fellowship, this closeness, this intimacy, there's nothing close like this one. Because I will not only with me with Zion, I will dwell in Zion. Wherever Zion is, I'll be there. But you go down the road, your wife go, but you're not there. You go to worship, not there. But in this oneness, in this fellowship, wherever Zion is, he is. I walk in her. He longed for that. Some of you went too long. You know, brother Tyree waiting too long. Long? Compared to God. Sure. He said, this is my rest forever. Forever means continuous existence. A God's existence. This is the place I will rest. And in that rest, there'll be no stopping. What about that rest? It'll be continuous. It won't be eternal. It won't be forever. This great design never left him. He longed for that. He waited for that. He desired that. It was constantly on his mind. God grant you something for a woman. For Mount Zion. As people have said, he grants you a thing. Sure. It was there with him all the time. And he was keep showing it in shadow and type all through the scriptures. This great longing he had. Says in the book of Genesis chapter 14, when Abraham met Melchizedek, who was king of Zion, who was king of Jerusalem. Yes. Bible said king of Salem, which is Jerusalem. He was given bread and wine by Melchizedek, that king priest. And since that meeting, Abraham have been longing for that city. He only saw the king of the city. And by that meeting, he desired for that long to see that city whose builder and maker is God. A true reflection of Christ. Because Christ is going through the same thing. He kept showing it was on his mind all the time. See, coming in Exodus 25, when God told Moses to make him a sanctuary, that he may dwell among the people according to the pattern that I showed you in the mount. He said, there I will meet thee. There I will commune with thee. It was something in his heart. It was something he was longing for. We were just showing it in shadow and type all the time. Then David came and built him a house. Solomon, sorry. Built him a house. But according to the pattern of the Spirit, I want to see that tabernacle, where it was broken down. It was burned by Nebuchadnezzar, the truth carried down into captivity in Jerusalem, in Babylon. See? Then that same temple was restored again under Nehemiah and Ezra, Zerubbabel and Joshua. So we see the whole Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. The whole focus is this great city, Jerusalem. You reach the whole entire Bible, even the New Testament. The whole focus is what? The New Jerusalem. There's a reason for that. The Old Testament, he came with them and, you know, dwelt with them at certain times and seasons. He met them certain times, communed with them certain times. The high priest would go in there once a year. He would come down and show mercy unto the people. They'd rejoice and go back home, go back out. But all of it was temporary. Yeah. When he told David, this is my rest forever. Isn't that he was talking about? It's a greater Jerusalem. See, that wasn't the Zion he was speaking about. The Zion he was speaking about what will have rest eternally. He will have eternal rest. True. I'll have a Jerusalem where I'll dwell with them without end. I'll have eternal fellowship with them. I'll have eternal communion with them. All through the scriptures, talking about this Jerusalem. Then we see John come speaking about the kingdom of God. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then we see Jesus Christ coming, talking about what? It's your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. Speaking about a kingdom. And a kingdom must have a king. And that king must have subjects. Why? It's the entire theme of the entire Bible. This Bible reveals what? Jesus Christ. And every scripture reveal him, reveal her too. Because she and him is one. Here we see Paul. We just read a scripture in the book of Hebrews. Speaking to the Hebrew church. Showing them where they have come to. The portion of the word of God fulfilled in their time. Where the opening of the word have brought them. He said, but you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. He's showing them their portion, what they have come to, what they have come into. What is the church? Was a portion of scripture promising that day that Paul preached the word and brought them into that promise. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who was written in heaven, and to God the just of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. He was speaking of what? That great new Jerusalem that have come to. The Bible says, by one spirit, we are all baptized into that body. Whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, we are all made to drink out that one spirit. And the body is not one, but a many-membered body. Yeah. See the mystery opening up. Some in Genesis, some in Exodus, some in Kings, some in Chronicles. Amen. We're speaking of some to come. Yeah. What he desired, what he longed for. And we see the church of the living God, that new Jerusalem, that body, that Mount Zion, is made up of many members. Just like in the building of the temple in Solomon's time, it was made up of many stones. That Peter said, you are lively stones. Why? We are the real thing. We are the image. We are the antitype of that shadow back there. But in the temple that Solomon built, it was made up of different kind of stones. and one cut the other way. There's a reason for that. One stone was made different from the other stone. They were cut different. They came from different parts of the world. They were different shapes and cuts. And it was done for a purpose. And in this temple, this new Jerusalem, the real Jerusalem, the real heavenly Jerusalem, the stones are cut and are made different. The stones are made up of different makeup. Every member, every stone have a different makeup. Different stones, different shape, different makeup. Look at Paul. You know, deep, scholarly kind of man. That was his makeup. He was made so for a purpose. Look at Peter, always in the front. Always rushing to say something. Even saying something all the time too. But that was his makeup. Here we see Andrew in a corner praying by himself there. See the prophet, how he was made up. How he liked to go fishing since he's small. You know, he's going to fish, he's going to hunt. He can't take the party, he can't take them things. When the family have the panda house, he go on somewhere, he can't take it. That's how he was made up. He loved the wilderness. He was made that way for a purpose. Some quiet. Some of you talk plenty. Some like mountains, some like valleys, some like rivers. Some like the sing. Some like the right song. Some like to pray. You know. Some just like thinky by the cell phone. You know. But God gave every one of us a certain makeup for a purpose. God do that. You're not so by chance. That is designed by Almighty God. Every one of us have a different makeup. And it's God ordained that. See, many things bring that about. Our hereditary, our parents, where we come from, have a lot to do with our makeup. Sign we born under have a lot to do with our makeup. The environment you live in, you grow up in, have a lot to do with your makeup. But all that is with a grand divine purpose. God designed it so. He made you that way. And let me tell you something. There's nobody like you. There's only one like you in the whole world. And God designed it so. You are special. Nobody like you. You're going through the whole earth. Through all billions of people. You'll not find one like you. You are made that way and designed that way. I'm not talking about sin. But your makeup is that way for a divine purpose. There's no two people on the earth alike. So God is a God of variety. See, He make it so. And we must not try to be like somebody else. Because the way that you are, that unique way, that is the way God make you. And you must not try to impersonate somebody else. Trying to, no, God make you special. See, you just go the way that the Holy Ghost will lead you to go. Do what God tells you to do. And stay with it. Because there's nobody in heaven. Listen.
There's nobody in the earth could take your place. When you try to be like somebody else, you try to interfere with the great plan of God. They say all through millions of people all over the earth, there's no two people have the same fingerprints. That's why we used to be all that compete with people. God made us a certain way for a particular, to be a special cut stone with a special makeup to fit in a certain place, in a certain slot. And the reason you are made so is to fit in that place. And when you try to be like something else, you hinder the plan of God. So when I fat, praise God. I can, praise God. But if God may give some reason, a short, a tall, that don't matter. Some people like the caffeine, like, you know, people always say, she funny boy. She sour boy. She kind of, she don't talk much, and she all makes herself sulky. Listen, God make that way for purpose. We don't have no complex. We don't compare with nobody. We are special in the sight of God. He chose me and designed me for an habitation. Be yourself. Amen. Let's go through nothing. Be yourself. How you are by God's grace. Thank God. Hallelujah. Because deep in your heart is a consciousness. There's a hunger. There's a thirst for reality, for God. And the reason you have that thirst is because you're part of the temple. Because you're part of that New Jerusalem. Every stone is different, saints. See, in the building of the temple in Solomon's time, them stones were cut out from different parts and brought on the temple site. Now, the stones had no strength of its own to bring itself there. The stone had no intelligence of its own to bring itself there. It had to take a greater intelligence to cut out that stone, to take that stone and bring that stone and put it on the temple site. The stone had nothing to do with it. It wasn't by might or power of the stone, but it was by the grace of Almighty God. It was by the might and power of the Holy Spirit. What are we a privilege tonight? Because let me tell you something. When it was cutting out those stones, all the stones didn't come to the site. Some were left behind, but there were certain chosen ones. There were certain selected ones that was called and chosen to be part of the temple that was born by the great intelligence of a human. The stone had nothing to do with it. See? The Bible said when the temple wasn't building, that house, it was built of stone, made ready before it was brought there, so that there was neither hammer or axe nor any tool heard in the house while it was in building. Everything was just placed in their position. No one in the force and fight. No! That stone, no matter how queer its shape, no matter how odd it looked, it had a place in the temple. It knew because I brought here from the quarry and brought in this site, I was brought for a purpose to fit in that temple. I have a place there. I don't care how funny the rest of the stones see me. Brother, my place is there. When I was building the temple, brother, the fitting stones. And there's a lot of queer stones on the ground and they're kicking it every time. Look, it's so queer. They put up all the stones and they recognize There's a hole in the building. When they look on the ground, they saw the same stone he was kicking all about. That was the chief cornerstone. That was the stone of the building of the church that became the head of the corner. Brother, all of us, by God's grace, have a place in this great temple of the living God. We are causing before the foundation of the world. We don't have to trust, we have to fight. We have to yield ourselves to Jesus Christ. That temple took 7 years in building. A type of the seven church ages. Then they brought the furniture in, and the vessels and the treasures. And the last thing they brought in was the ark. A type of Christ, the headstone, the word. And here we see them Levites going into the holies of holies with the ark and the stars going in, and they put the ark in its designated position in the holy of holies, took out the stars. And as they came out of the holy of holies and came out in the places by the presence of God, the Shekinah glory come down upon that place in such power, in such might, in such glory, that the Bible said the priest could not minister because of the glory of the place. Why? The headstone came in its place of position. The presence of God was manifested. When the ark was being brought back by David from the house of Obadiah, when he was bringing back the ark in its right order, in its right place, according to the way that God should have bring it back. Rather than brought back the ark, was shouting and praising God. Where they were put the ark? Upon Mount Zion. And when the ark was being placed there, there was such a presence. David started to shout, started to dance, started to sing. Brother, he had such a jubilee. The presence of God was so manifest among him. Why? The headstone had come to its place. They sent him a job. When God asked Job, he said, where were you? When the morning stars sang together for joy, and the sons of God shouted, where were you? The prophecy, the reason was singing and shouting, the source seeing what? The headstone coming to its place. And anytime the headstone comes to its place, anytime the headstone comes to its position among the people, you'll see the same behavior. You'll see shouting and dancing and praising and jumping among the people. Identify, the presence is here. The headstone is here. Sure. With them stones in the temple, that Solomon built that tabernacle there. Till that time had come, and it was broken down by Nebuchadnezzar. Was installed again in the days of Zerubbabel and Joshua, Nehemiah, and Ezra. Was broken down again and built by Herod. And in Matthew 24, we see the disciples talking to Jesus when he came out of the temple. His disciples came and said, Lord, look at the buildings of the temple. Because Herod built a wonderful temple, it's beautiful. Said, Lord, look at this temple, how nice it is. Look at this stone, look how beautiful it is. He said, see not to look unto these things. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he said, that's what it was. In 87, Titus came in and destroyed that temple. But they were all speaking of that great temple. This is my rest forever. Here will I. If you go now and try to find them stones, you can scarcely find most of them. But in this Jerusalem, but in this Mount Zion, since the temple has been built, let me tell you something. Every stone is existing tonight. Since Paul was laying the foundation, heed how we build it thereunto. For no other foundation will no other man lay than which is there, that is Jesus Christ. And that church is not coming forth by what? Lively stones. Now listen, maybe you can't find a stone from Solomon Temple. You can't find a stone, maybe, or the stone from Herod Temple. But let me tell you something. The temple, the stones of the New Jerusalem, those stones are existing tonight. Those stones cannot be destroyed. The gates of hell shall not prevail against those stones. Cannot be destroyed. Bible said everything that could be shaken would be shaken. But heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion, shall remain. Why? Paul's Peter said you are lively stones. Lively stones. What kind of life? Stones with life. Stones with God's own life. Zoe. Stones with endless life. Stones that cannot die. Stones that eternal, like God is eternal. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. See, the world shall not see you no more, but you shall see me. Because I live, you shall live also. I'll be with you even in you. You who were dead, had you know what? Quickened, made alive. Lively stones with God's own life. Better about a spiritual house. There's no death in this city. No death. What causes death? Sin. There's no sin in this city. The delegates of this city, the stones, have a sinless nature. They cannot sin. He that is born of God does not commit sin. It's a city of holiness. It's a city of truth. It's a city of righteousness. It's a city of eternal life. Yeah. Oh, the Bible said, them that sleep in Jesus. There's no death in that city. What a city. An eternal city. With eternal stones. Quickened stones, magnetized stones. They say the first magnets were stones in them. And for you to get magnetized, you have to get in contact with an original magnet. You take a piece of magnet, magnetized, and you take a material that has the potential. You take a paper, wouldn't do. Draw no potential. Take a piece of wood, no potential. But take a nail. And put that magnet upon that nail. But the power in that magnet, when it's connected together, will go right through the nail. And the nail itself become a magnet. When it's connected together. The power in the magnet flows in the nail. And the nails become magnetized though. And the nail can pick up things too. How come? By a connection. By a union. By a marriage. By coming together. See. Let me tell you something. God called us for a purpose. We were manifested on the earth for a particular purpose. God didn't call us to be a church member. God didn't call us to be an organization. That wasn't his thought. That wasn't his desire. Why choose Zion? For his habitation. to dwell in her, to live in her, to walk in her, to talk in her, to have eternal fellowship with her. That's the reason of his calling. That's why he called you. That's the purpose behind the calling. You're not here by chance. You're born a certain family by God's design. Some will see John coming to church and with a piano. Let me tell you something. You are a gene of God that was born in that family that God know, and you will come to a certain church where the word has been preached to be quickened in the spirit, in the soul. God in everything. The purpose he called you. It's like the Hebrew believers. Paul constantly trying to remind them, let us labor to enter into his rest. They were stopping short. They were just rejoicing. Thank God for Paul. Praise God for the message Paul preaching. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know Timothy put you out there? You know thank this preach, boy? Oh, we thank God for that message. Paul said, don't stop there. They were stopping short of the purpose of God in their lives. They start to settle down, feel comfortable, and hear nice messages, and seeing Paul opening the book, and taking out the mysteries, and bringing it before them. They rejoice and praise God. But Paul recognized, listen to me, that's not the purpose he called you for. The greatest thing I have in his heart is to dwell in you. To have fellowship with you, to have communion with you. What would he give Abraham? He gave Abraham what? Bread and wine. When he came in the flesh, what did he get? His body and his blood. But he gave us something greater. He gave us part of himself. That's the purpose he called us for. That's what he desired in his heart. This great longing, this great hunger that God has for you. Right before you're born, he was hungering for you, knowing you were coming. Before you dropped from your mother's room, he was thinking of you. When you dropped from your mother's room, he was hovering all over you, looking after you, out in the world. Some of you say, I nearly get killed. You can't get killed. But I nearly drunk sometime ago. You can't drunk. But I need a diamond operation. You can't die so what? You are called for a particular purpose. For any fine purpose, give me a happiness of the spirit. Get that tonight. The purpose you called you for. To live in you. You become a tabernacle. Hit that mark. We haven't come to the promise yet. Once we still stand with church membership, we haven't come to the promise yet. The word isn't vindicated yet. The word hasn't become light yet in our lives. What is the light? The promise vindicated word made manifest. And when your life and the promise I'm going to design you for haven't fulfilled in your life, and you become a dwelling place for God, and you inhabit God, and God live in you, and walk and talk in you, you become the light of the world, a city set on a hill. I just plan for us. Strength to overcome. That is great God. This great spirit reflected in and through us. This great love could emanate from our lives. This great joy could come out of us. This peace, this patience, this long-suffering, this faith, this gentleness, this meekness, this self-control could be reflected in our lives every day, in every circumstance. Whether you're up, whether you're down, brother, the same foot you're bearing. Some people say, boy, That was a hard test, you know. Let me tell you something. Once that is there, it will be the same food all the time. Whether in Pilot Hall, whether in Judgment Hall, whether they spit on you, no matter what you do, it will be the same life all the time. Whether they stone you with stones, it will be the same life all the time. God having his great desire accomplished in us. He told Solomon, I'll put my name in that place. I'll put my name there forever. Jerusalem. Here we see men, when they're in trouble, God promised to look to that place. And God will answer from that place. God promised to do that. That was only temporary seeds. Where a man put his name is his wife. In his bride. She alone has his name. Do you believe there's another church or denomination to be recognized in the presence of God? Listen to this. There's not a church or a denomination could be recognized in the presence of God. Do you believe that? There's not a one. Only those that are born into Jesus Christ take on his name. You take on his name when you are born in the air. Not by water baptism. All you can be baptized in his name. But that don't take on his name. You take on his name by birth. Not by water. You are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, in the fellowship. But you are baptized by the Holy Ghost into Jesus Christ. When you are once baptized by the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ, you become a son or daughter of God, and every word is true. You see, he did that for a purpose. What is the name? The life. I want you to see this tonight by God's grace. The purpose of this message. It's not just to say, we're better than denomination, we have more grace. No, there's a purpose behind that. God has called you for a divine purpose to fulfill certain scriptures prophesied in this day to come through your flesh. So in the last days, the true bride Christ church will come to the headstone. She will be the super church, a super race as she nears him. Then the bride will be so much like him. They'll be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. This will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. A oneness, a harmony. Being connected to the great magnet. To get magnet hands. Full of quickening power. Full of endless life. You know, we read about Melchizedek. Without father, without mother. Without beginning of days or end of life. And pause, how great this man is. What about a bride tonight? With endless life. That can't die. That is eternal as he is still now. That reflecting his beauty. His character, his word. She's born of his word and flesh of his flesh. How great this woman is. Lively stones. Building up what? A spiritual house. Says she'll come to the headstone. Luther's manner was a message of justification. Wesley's message was the manifestation of sanctification. Pentecostal was the restoration of the gifts. But this is introducing the headstone. The last day, the bright tree. Which is contrary to all of it. And yet it's the same light for the matured. It's the same light that was in Luther that grow. It's the same light in Wesley that grow. It's the same light in Pentecostal that grow. No, it's the fullness. You see, this is what? Introducing what? The headstone. You see, watch it went forward, grew stronger and stronger. So has the real minority of the church grown from justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now the common capstone, shaping itself up. No more organizations after this. Won't be no more. See? We on the west. This is what the capping part. This is what the intelligence part. That is why in this day, the bride has what? The mind of Christ. She knows what he wants done with his word. She is him reflected. If he promised that, if he desired that, let me tell you, he is more than able to do that. He said just what Jesus done by his bride. He had to put so much in Luther, so much in Methodist, so much in Presbyterian, so much in Pentecostal. But what does it come out with? His own reflection. Just like my permanent message, keeping right up, coming into the minority with a headstone, the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth has to be the same as the ministry he had, or he can't come to it. Just like the head, the feet. See? Feet is not the head, but the head packs the feet or makes the feet, tells where to go. You get it? He said, this is what? Coming to what? The headstone. I watch the behavior among the people. I watch the spirit move and see the people behaving a certain behavior. And I see what God promised happening in these last days. And I see when the headstone came, how people behaved back there. And I see the same behavior taking place among the people. Sure, listen to me. God will show what he promised he has done. This last bit, bride. It's the finish of the ministry of the Son of Man. Here on the earth. It must fit what? The coming of the headstone. What Peter said. He said, the coming stone. To whom coming? As unto a living stone. To whom what? Coming. What is coming as what? A living stone. It's to be united with lively stones. I see all we live in. I said, listen, that is the resurrection. The headstone come back in this day with a message of grace. Shoutings of grace, grace unto it. In Luther was the feet. In Wesley was the body, Pentecostal lips. But then they had Malachi for the eye, but not being what? The intelligence, the head. The fullness of the word. Calling every stone by its name. Gathering all the stones together and quickening them and giving them what? A rapturing faith. This is the age we're living in, friends. You see, if he's a living stone, and Peter said, to whom come in? And we are lively, we are stones. To go in the resurrection, to be united with him. Life would only unite with life. Life would only connect with life. The members on the earth have to be just like him. If he is lively, they have to be lively. If he's full of quickening power, they have to be full of quickening power. That's why the word has been opened up to us. We have to come by the way of the word. Bible says if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from every sin. He has made a way for us to come be a lively stone. You don't want to be that tonight? You're tired of being a church member? You're just tired of the message? Do you know what Philip Paul called raise your foot? And you become a habitation for the God of Jacob? Now this has been reality in your life? Not just talking about possessing it? Having the reality? Every day, every hour? Jehovah God in intimacy with you? So close he's in you? How many desire that tonight? Let me tell you something. Your desire is according to God's perfect will. And the reason why you desire that, God wants to give you that. He made you for that. What keeps us away? Sin. Unbelief. But he made a way. He made an atonement. He became a perfect sacrifice. The lamb that was slain. Said before the foundation of the world, being made manifest in these last days. God becoming man. Going kind of shed his precious blood to cleanse you. Isaiah, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The society of my peace was upon him. With his stripes I'm healed. The sin question has already been settled. Satan tried to give your mind back for your condition. Look what you do, and look what you do, and look what you do yesterday. Listen to me, he paid for that. You have to accept what he has done for you. You have to come the way to receive it. The way he ordained, if you don't come into it, you're going to come that way. You have to be bold. You have to know what he has done. Let me tell you something. Every mistake, everything you ever done wrong, in thoughts, in words, and in deeds, Jesus Christ paid for it on the cross of Calvary. I don't want you to clap it. I want you to believe that. So stop walking around with condemnation. Stop walking with guilt. Because in your heart, you don't desire to do it, but it's a lost sin in you. Because when I try to do good, evil is present. But thank God, he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know your rights. You have to believe what he has done for you. And you have to be bold and accept it. Because sometimes they're telling you, you mean God, holy God, the creator God, who hates sin, who don't like sin, who smite because of sin. You mean you do all that? And you want to tell me God forgive you? Yes, devil. God, that the Holy Ghost is sick on your heart. I don't walk on with no condemnation. If I do wrong, I repent. The Bible says, we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all righteousness. And I go free. Because then sins, once they are confessed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the bleached blood, them things that disintegrates, that goes upon the devil, and there's listen to me, God don't remember it no more. It's placed in the sea of God's forgetfulness. You have to know how to work, how to come into it. He wants to give you that blessing. He wants to make you alive quicker than you. There's a way to come into it. And sometimes we allow people who we have respect for keep us there. When we know, I'm sorry, Lord. I confess it, Lord. And look at people who you think should know more. And they say, could you? You could be anything? Could you? Look what you do last week. Look what you do last month. Look this. Who you believe? God or them? This is a pleasure to fight for and stay there. Because once there's guilt and condemnation, your faith is crippled. And the only way that comes to be alive and strong is by faith. And God gives something to take away all the doubts, all the fears, all the condemnation. Faith in what you've done for you. Tell you something. Some of them stones. Even though it's written in the one in the name of Nehemiah, come from rubbish. Nehemiah said the stones is where? Among rubbish. Rubbish heap, garbage. Dump. What people don't want, they discard. Refuge. Even society don't want you around. But there were stones in refuge. There were stones in rubbish. I don't care how low you are. God called you for a purpose. To live in you. Look how bad you are. Once you are that person that God called, there's a way, man, to bring you there. Okay, rubbish. I look at a woman in the Bible. When Jesus Christ was invited to Simon's house, have feasting with him, he came and he sat down. You pay attention to him, just invite him there. The one passage she saw going on, she said, she looked at him truly and she said, that's my Lord. That's the man who forgive me. That's the man who spare me. He said, go and sin no more. That's the man who stand the gap. When judgment's coming, he stand at the mercy. And she saw him there. Dirty feet. Whether she was a prostitute. And when she saw the Lord there, she said, I want to make sure to take away that reproach. Let me tell you something. Once you ever met him, once you ever show his grace and share his mercy, you always want to take away his reproach. You want to own the power that no party come to his name. She went there, she collect a few some money. And she went that place there knocking. Good evening, good evening, good evening. The man peeped. He sees her, you know her. Close back the door. He said, you can't pay any kind of money, man. Oh, low lady. She started shaking that. Click, click, click. He opened it back. But he said, what you want? He said, I want an alabaster box. I want some ointment. But she did. He said, what kind you want? She said, give me the best. Give me the best! He said, what do you? He said, you're among the pay. He said, you don't worry, give me the best. He said, will you get all that? He said, you don't worry that, I go pay you. But he looked, they get the finest ointment. And he's watching her. She paid him every cent. Someone went back there where they had a function. See her Lord there, still, she recognized, still in the same condition. She managed to creep inside. When she started creeping inside, people started to hide. All them dignity started to hide. Why? They failed. They don't want to see her. She might recognize them. They're hiding. They said, I don't want you to see me. Brother, she was interested in that. She's interested in her Lord. Brother, she stand behind him crying. Tish. Once in his presence, that power started to flow upon her, the anointing, she started to cry. Tears are flowing from her. She can't stop crying unreservably, uncontrollably. And she just stood down behind him and started to cry. And the tears coming down from her face, she started to wash his feet. Tears started to wash his feet. So much tears started to wash his feet. And she started to take her hair and start to wipe them and wipe them. And started to kiss his feet and kiss his feet. Oh my, hallelujah! Well, a stone from the rubbish. A stone from the rubbish! Where is she then? He has Simon in his heart. He said, well, look at that. He's doing so. Making Kuya more different. And saying in his heart, he sees a prophet. Prophet what? If he was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is. She sleep with half of the men here. Brother, he can't deal with that kind of rubbish. He can't deal with that kind of refuge. But there's one to deal with anything! One that's his son! Hallelujah! One that the Father's changed! I come to seek all. He will live in 99 and one seek after that one. He said, Simon! I have something to say to you. You see, there were two creditors. There was a creditor, sorry. And he lent men, two men money. One 500, one 50. To see on Lord, see on. He said, what can the pay? Can the pay? Look how moral you are. I don't care, listen to me. Never say a bad word in your life, still can't be. I forgive them both. He said, who do you think will love him the most? He said, that's the question, man. You ask him. He said, the one who lend you 500? He said, bright. The bright, the bright, the bright. He said, since I come here, he didn't give me no water to wash my foot or towel to dry it. He didn't give me no kiss. But this woman, since I've come here, she has come. And with tears of repentance, she has not failed to wash my feet with her tears. And wipe them with the hair of her head and kiss my feet. He says, in this stone, this stone from the rubbish. Sometimes in hard rubbish and rubbish, talking to want to take. What's it stink? But in this stone, who sins, which are many, are all forgiven. Listen to me, you are a stone. No matter where you are, you can be Omala Duke. It don't matter to God. Once he desired of you a temple, your life a habitation, no matter what condition, he has made a way for you to come to with that. Let me tell you, I have no better man or no better woman in the world. All have sinned. some Catholic doctrine rub off on the civilization. Venial sin and mortal sin. Nonsense. All that sin. No matter what condition you are, what condition you was, and there's a design in your heart, something telling you, I'm part of that building. I'm part of that tabernacle. I'm part of Mount Zion. Yeah, in me there's a hunger. In me there's a thirst. In me there's a longing for God to live in me. And I mean, because you have that desire, it shows you're part of that temple tonight. He made a way. That's where he went Calvary for. To be a price, a perfect price. To take care of every condition. Whether in the rubbish, whether in the White House. To take care of every situation. To take sin away completely. The miracle power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Confessing in that powerful bleach will take it away. Children see your God forgiveness. Never to remember no more. I want you from tonight to stop walking around with guilt. I want you from tonight to stop walking around with condemnation. When you sin, repent. And know, once you're sorry in your heart, God forgive you already. You're free. And whatever mistake you make, even next year, God tarry. That people already. And when you accept that lamb, and you walk in that word, the word being preached in your age, the portion of the word being opened up in this day, that capstone revelation, that defending mission truths, the intelligence of the mind of God opened you. And you accept that and walk in that. There's no devil in hell to keep away the quickening power from you. God wants you to have that reality. God wants you to be a lively stone. Lively don't only mean when the music is jumping. When you're home and there's no music, you're still jumping. Because you're praising and talking God. The life of God is in you. He made a way for us to come into it. See, let's stand tonight. Let's read one scripture, Romans 8. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. A man that born in this world through sex, he will love the things of the flesh. That's normal. That's natural. But they that are after the spirit, capital S. The things of the spirit. That is natural too. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. The flesh you're born with. The birth they're born from your mother and father. That nature cannot walk in the word. Cannot please God. Cannot obey the word. Cannot fulfill the promise. Can't subject to the word. So then they that in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. It's so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. What? Dwell. Make his habitation in you. I mean, any man have none of the Spirit of Christ, none of his. And the Spirit be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. He wants you to have that. He wants to give you that. He's showing you how to come into it. It's nothing you have done, it's what he has done for you. All provisions are already made. It's for you to see it and understand and come walk in it and accept it. Claim it! If a son shall ask bread of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God challenges your faith tonight. From a stone to rubbish to a lively stone. We come the way of the blood. We come the way of the word. Walking in the word. As it opens, you walk in it. As more unfold, walk in it. And you'll walk straight in his presence. How we thank God tonight for quickening power. It's available to my friends. He wants you to have it. He wants to make you a lively stone to build up this what? Spiritual house. Every stone this building is alive. With God's own life. How to come? Through the blood. Through his provision. Through the word that we open up them in their age. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Think on these things tonight. Eternal stones for eternal city. Let's not play church tonight. Let's be dead sincere. Let's be honest tonight. Let's search our hearts. Let's accept tonight that atonement. Once and for all, let's settle here. Knowing the price has been fully paid. The ransom price. All the debts you ever owe has been paid. Hallelujah. It's grace. A message of amazing grace. What he have done for you. That's how we come tonight. Reckon ourselves dead. Hallelujah. Being identified with a sacrifice. With a lamb. Even a lamb in this age, the world opened up. A fountain opened the house of David. To cleanse. To clean. You are washed by the washing water by the word. Father, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. When you come to church and the man of God stands before the sacred desk and he preaches the word, it's the water of sprinkling. It's cleansing you. It's washing you. All the filth, all the world, all the unbelief. So you come with expectation. You come with, Lord, wash me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, sanctify me, Lord. Identify yourself with that word, with a lamb. Walking in it. Oh, hallelujah. It's going to bring you to perfection. It's going to bring you to a place where you'll be quickening the inside. God give the Holy Ghost and obey him. Hallelujah. Don't settle for just coming and hearing us talking about it. Fulfill the word. Fulfill the scriptures. A habitation for Almighty God. A dwelling place. You are Mount Zion. You are his chosen. You are his desired. You are his longed for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to invite us to bow your head and to make all the wrongs right tonight. Be sincere in your heart. Hallelujah. Put everything all the way tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Be honest. Bible says a good and honest heart. He brought forth some 60, some 80, some 100. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Knowing, oh God, they are praising God's here forgetfulness. Hallelujah. Know you identify with the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. And the life of the Lamb will come back upon you as a witness. You have accepted what you have done for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a Lord, prepare me. Let's sing to him. Hallelujah. Sing to him tonight. Sing to him tonight. Sing to the prayer. Temptation. Spirit purify me from it. Fill my heart with the Holy Spirit. You take away all my sins.
You take away all my sins. Lord, prepare me.
You're holy.
Upon him tonight. Prepare me, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's here tonight, friends, to break every chain, set you free, to fill you with that Holy Spirit here tonight, to make you a quickening stone, a lively stone. Many of us purge your house, raise up, quicken, energize God's life. Hallelujah. I just feel like tonight, and you may be here tonight and they design you for that longing to be a temple. You desire God to come and live in you, to walk and talk in you. You desire that reality. You are a true temple, as Solomon built. You are a tabernacle, and Moses put you in the wilderness. You are the true Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Maybe there's someone here tonight that desire that, but like there's some spirit in your life, some demon power, trying to hold you, trying to bind you. Like you can't get free. Something you're trying to get away from. And you pray and you cry, but like it seems still there. You want to pray for it. Like it's trying to tie you. Some habit. He's here tonight to break that. We come to hear his word, but we come to see him too. To break our chains, to set us free. To supply our need here tonight. We don't want to go back the same way, no. We come bound, we want to go back delivered. We come empty, we want to go full. We come sick, we want to go healed. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's someone here tonight that you desire that your life would be a tabernacle for God. But there's something that tried to bind and tried to hold you back. Some spirit, some evil force. And you believe in that he's able to break that. He's able to set you free tonight. He's able to take it away. I want you to just, don't be sincere. We just want everyone lifting their hand for just, you know, just lift your hand sake, but you want deliverance. He's here to deliver you. There's something in your life, something definite, something specific that tried to bind you, can't get free from it. Like every time you make two steps, bring you back. You can go free tonight from that thing. I want you to come up here. Something definite in your heart, not just anything, but something, you know, there's something you're binding, you're holding you tight. Can't get free. You desire God. It's time there. You pray, you cry, you try. But it, like it don't want to move. It's a devil. But he's saying his word in my name. You shall cast out devils. The headstone is here to break every spirit. Jesus. You who have come here tonight, you believe that God is able to do this. You believe that He is here and you will walk away here tonight without that. You ain't come back for no more prayer after tonight. It's settled. You're going to put the stake down tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to break that thing tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to pray with faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Your ministers here tonight, you believe God. You believe that when we pray, that it's done. Bible says if two or three have come together touching anything, whatever they agree upon, they shall have it. This is a step of faith. And that is not just coming up the line, but you believe in God tonight for deliverance. You know He's more than able to do it. You come here because you know when you walk back here, it's no more. You're free in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to pray for you tonight. Something specific. You know, talk to the ministers. If you think you really want that, you know, touch from God. God is more than able. He's here to break every fetter. Let us sing that song tonight. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus reigns. Hallelujah.
lying down. Isn't that wonderful tonight? He died for us on Calvary's tree.
On Calvary.
Can you bring the Lamb of God who died for us? Who bridged that chasm?
When I could
come, there was a barrier here. Nobody dared enter into God's presence. But he slew the enmity. He tore down the middle wall of partition. He gave us access to come in the merits of what he has done, to come in boldness. Oh, how we ought to give him thanks tonight. That's why he died. He prayed, Father, they may be one as I knew are one.
When I could,
now we can come in boldness, find grace to help in time of need. Your patience. It's such a wonderful thing that when believers could gather together and be in this kind of attitude in support of each other, and all these young ones who in the crossroads of life, and we remember when we were the age of many then, what it was like when the biological clock seemed to be going haywire sometimes. When it seems that you're feeling that call from God, but Satan's trying to throw every obstacle in your way. Amen. But then to know that he knows how to make a way where there is no way. He knows how to give us strength to climb over every obstacle, to persevere in spite of all obstacles, in spite of all hindrances tonight. And we can come and receive the blessing that he intends for us to have. May God, we should bless you for that kind of support. They identify with all of us. And so nice, I think it's pleasing to the Lord when we can agree together for them, believe for them, create a wall of faith around them. Amen. That God can strip the devil of every right, break every power, and make him turn them loose and give them up. Loose them and let them go. Amen. That's what's in the church. That's what's in the wings of the eagle that God wants us to try it out. Exercising it. Acting upon it. Because we recognize it to be the truth. At this time, we have a little meal prepared for you. For everyone that's here. And you have a token. And so we want to give you that token. And you'll just come on the line, and I think you've got 9 each side, so we'll just give you 9, so just take one and just pass the rest out that way. And on the hill, the meal will be served. And you know, sometimes we just come and preach and hear the word and go back. But we desire to have fellowship with you, stay in fellowship a little bit and enjoy God's presence and linger a while. And those you haven't seen for a long time, you make sure to greet them. And we have seen some out in the islands here as well, and get to know them and make them feel welcome by the grace of God. I believe God is mindful of us, and he certainly wants to make sure that this last convention, this century here, we want it to be special. We want God to do something special. We want God to just give us a lift that put us in readiness, make us ready to go. And we know that many times the word being planted in the local assemblies, we come out here like this, and suffering grace can just come down, and the rain can fall and plant the word, and see the word begin to live in the people, begin to experience all God with blessings. So So you want to pray a dismissing prayer, and then the ushers will come through. Father, we thank you tonight to be gathered in your house, to be gathered in this time of convention, to the emphasis upon the youths. And so fine to see, Lord, the ministers, the elders of the churches coming up with the young people. Lord, church families, Father. We think of the great gathering time, the dispensation of all things. When all things in Christ, that is in heaven, that is on earth. The family is named after the Lord Jesus Christ, all your attributes. Lord, gathering in, Father, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from all sin. We thank you tonight, the courage and the conviction, the sincerity, Lord, that struck hearts, that moved them up into that realm where they can sense. Lord, that sitting there was a call, Father. And they responded, Lord, in the affirmative, coming forth, expecting to receive. And Father God, know you are faithful. You'll not send not one away empty. And you come down, you bless them, Lord. Those things that, Lord God, they believe that they have received that which they asked for, that they shall have it. Just like your prophet said, the angel of the Lord, all the next day, you are driving the cars going home, while there was in the home, while there was in the job, the angel of the Lord passed through the office, passed through the homes, went through the neighborhoods, still fulfilling. We are so thankful that you taught us these things and showed how you work, Father, that the influence of a meeting goes on and on and on. And I pray that that influence will be so strong tonight, it will saturate deep down on the inside, giving settled peace, bringing assurance and comfort, confidence, Lord, to each and every one, Father. May your richest blessings be upon us all, and most of all, that divine love that will unite us together as your body, Father. United under one headship and by one language. The real Jerusalem, Lord. Nimrod tried to build that perversion, Babylon, but Lord, is fallen. But the reality is here, Father. The one that Abraham sought for after you called him out of Babylon. He confessed he was a pilgrim and stranger. When he saw that great theophany, that mansion of Melchizedek, he wanted to burst out of that press house he was in. He wanted to be raised up to a higher order, to live in the order of Melchizedek. He sought for that continuing city, whose builder and maker is God, one that had foundations. Father, how thankful we are tonight that our prophet came and opened up the mystery of those things that could be. This great future hold, Lord, these great things. Let us see that we are that city. He said, I write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God and my new name upon you. May it be so written in every forehead tonight. May every soul be so robed in white. Oh God, may be so unified by your divine love. And Lord, every one, Father, in that city with eternal life. There could be no death, there could be no sorrow, there could be no pain. Everyone has a glorified body, oh God. How thankful we are, Father, to know that you have brought these things to us alive in this message. It's been delivered to us. And that is that word growing up will produce everything in this season. We thank you for times like these when we could fellowship around God. We could see it changing from glory unto glory. Bless your servants. Bless the people that's connected to them, Father. Bless the strangers and the visitors, even those who step foul here tonight to receive you. May their God, they continue, oh God, to walk on in the light, Father, into a full true identification with you in water. Their sins can be washed away. Father, remember the rest of the services. The meal tonight, we ask your blessing upon it. Even our times of fellowship, your presence will just permeate and move. making a happy time for everyone. And yet, God, may you grant us traveling mercies when we leave. Take each one in peace and safety back into the comfort and quietness of their home. Should time in Lord's life bring us back to moral anticipations? And Lord, let us rise high and high. Oh God, we commit all things into your hands, thanking you, Lord, for all these wonderful and precious blessings. These exceedingly great and precious promises. For we pray in the almighty name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is a Becky, a David once in a little song, about Jerusalem coming down while the usher passed through and give the little token, and then usher the people out afterwards, and then right in the hill, they'll take care of you. So nice to have you. You know, the first meeting always is people coming, the place a little hot, and we're trying to get adjusted and get a good viewpoint and a little focus. We trust tomorrow it'll be a little more free up, and everything can just move in a sweeter way by the grace of God. So it's nice being here tonight. Really appreciate to have you all. God should bless you as you continue to enjoy His presence and the sweet fellowship along His way.
in you.